Happy Monday, everyone. Good evening and welcome to another week of the Highbury Squad. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 42. You know what day it is. That's right. It's Monday Madness. Here we go. Good evening to each and every one of you joining in chat right now. Thanks for joining me for this Monday Madness Top 5 Talking Points. I hope everyone's had a great weekend. As you know, this show is brought to you by our good friends at Football Prizes. We're going to reveal the new auction on tomorrow's show. So make sure you go to footballprizes.co.uk to get your ticket. Haven't heard who's won from last week's, so we shall see. As soon as we know, we will let you know as well. Right, I too am looking forward to another great show, Akuma. Good evening to all of the squaddies. Hello, hello. Welcome to all of our regulars and to any new listeners as well. Thank you so much for joining me this fine evening. Virginia, I think we're doing okay. I don't know. I had a good weekend. What about you guys? A couple of film recommendations for you. Saw a great film called Land, directed by Robin Wright, kind of one of those you want to escape into the wilderness after something really painful happens to you in your life. And it's about overcoming adversity, isolation, something that maybe we can all relate to right now. A beautiful movie, which had some stunning landscapes shot in Alberta, Canada. So definitely worth watching. Tony had watched it and said, you got to watch this film. So I did, and I loved it. Also, The Manitarian, didn't really like that very much. Felt like something that had been done 10 years ago. Maybe a story told a little bit too late, not sure. Not sure about Jodie Foster as well. I know she's been nominated, but didn't dig that. By the way, Monday Madness includes a little Monday pop culture for you now as well, right? Two films I absolutely loved. Promising Young Woman, thought that was brilliant. Carey Mulligan, amazing in that. And I Care a Lot. My God, that makes you think twice of putting anyone you love in a care home or getting older and not having your stuff taken care of, put it that way. It is a frightening movie. Rosamund Pike is lethal in that. She plays the bad person really well. She did that really well in Gone Girl as well. So those are my film recommendations. One Night in Miami, also worth a shout, just to kind of, you know, be a fly on the wall in terms of what these legends were talking about. Back in the day, just some great dialogue, you know, how these key figures were at the forefront of racism and how they dealt with these things and stuff like that. Just a beautiful film that Regina King has directed. So that's also worth checking out. Anything to talk about, anything to digress from talking about the Arsenal right now for me. Trial of the Chicago 7. Tony saw that and loved it. I'm a huge fan of Aaron Sorkin. He's been one of my writing heroes. I just love Aaron Sorkin's work. And this goes back to his play, The Sexual Perversity in Chicago, that then got turned into a film that was my Ambassador of Corn movie when I was growing up about last night with Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. Anyway, I really digress now. But yeah, Aaron Sorkin, I saw him at Mel's Diner on Sunset and I was like, oh my God, I have to go over and say hello. And I'm not that person because I was a publicist in my life for many, many years and never approached celebrities, but there were two or three that I did and I will only reveal them one at a time. But Aaron Sorkin was one. And at the time I just started like a content company and I was like, I'm going to go over and say hello to Aaron Sorkin. And he was having lunch with someone, was very cordial, very nice, took my business card, never ever heard from him again. There's a shocker. You can but try. And I did. Pitch gone wrong. Wasn't even a pitch. It was more of a hello. Anyway, all right, we're already 4 minutes in, so let's get to it, shall we? It's Monday Madness. I've got five subjects for you guys. Let me see if there's anyone in Coming to America too. Not good at all. Yeah, I Care a Lot, definitely. Let's see. What else do we have? We Care to You. Yeah, but the movie was called I Care a Lot. But I like what you did there, Martin. I really do. Good evening, squaddies. Right, let's get to it, shall we? I'm a bit happier today. It's Monday, but, you know, I'm trying to overcome it. I'm trying to overcome a very disappointing draw that felt like a loss over the weekend. So I'm not going to bring this up at all. I vowed I wouldn't. So I'm putting it up on screen, but I am not talking about this interview at all. I just can't do it. Okay, did I combine the business card with a handshake? I used to do that. Unfortunately, gave a paper cut to a man from Nestle, so I stopped doing that. James, that's a great story. I didn't. I handed the card over at the very end, you know, didn't want to seem desperate right off the top. You know, you only hand your card to Aaron Sorkin when you're ready for the exit. And that was me. I exited stage right. Okay. Anyway, loving the Talking Sopranos podcast. Yes. And also Dan Patrick, one of my favorites, has got a good podcast called The Scene, where he talks to one particular talent director about a particular scene in a movie. You should check that out too. That's really good. Right, let's get to it, shall we? 5 minutes, okay, for each subject. You guys are going to have to be the clock, and we're going to tick on this one. We've got a lot of great content lined up for you this week on the Highbury Squad. John Hark's Inside the Dressing Room with Super Kevin Campbell tomorrow. A really good friend of the show's Andoni Sulis from Gazeta.gr is going to be with us to preview the Olympiacos game. We've got Peter Redding from the Football App to talk to us about the future of marrying content and cryptocurrency and how that works into football. A little bit of tech for you as well. As you know, we like to bring you totally different content. And then we've got the Olympiacos post-game show, of course. And then on Friday, our fan forum is with Hugh Wizzy. Right, let's get to the first subject. Cashing in on Lacazette. You guys tell me what you think about this one. I've been a fan of Lacazette for a while. I think you guys know that I've defended him a lot on this show, where I didn't actually think he needed defending. I actually thought that he was very underappreciated. And Lacazette to me seems like one of those guys that does so much and works so hard, and some of it goes a little bit unnoticed. And I've also said on this show, and Kevin has said vehemently on this show, is that Arsenal have to be completely ruthless in order for us to move forward. And one of my other points on tonight's Monday Madness alludes to that too. Got to start making some really tough decisions, you know. And I think it started with Emi Martinez, and I'm not going to go back to that because this isn't about Emi or Leno. This is more about cashing in on your assets, being able to garner as much as you can market value-wise. Because as we know, a lot of our assets diminished in value, right? We didn't get anything. Kolasinac still out on loan, of course. Ozil, Mustafi, Sokratis, all of these players that we failed to capitalize on. And we can even take it further back, right, in terms of letting contracts run out. We talk about players like Ramsey, Sanchez. The list goes on and on. So at some point, you need to, I think, capitalize on your highest assets. And I think there's definitely two of those for us in this summer transfer market. And I'm talking about players that aren't homegrown, because I think we can garner quite a bit of cash for Willock and Maitland-Niles, you know, if we go down that route. With regards to the fact that we've been unable to score lots of goals this season and create chances, clearly something isn't working. Something's got to give. You're already committed to Aubameyang. He's captain. He's our highest paid player right now. You just signed him to a new contract. Lacazette is going to be a little bit like Emi Martinez. Is he the sacrificial lamb? No. But is he somebody who we can cash in on the same way we did Emi? Yes, absolutely. So apparently his agents have started farming him around to Juventus and Barcelona. Atletico Madrid, as we know, was a bit of a narrative last season in terms of them wanting to maybe buy him or make him part of that loan deal with Torreira. So the big question to you guys, first talking point, is do we cash in on Lacazette? Kevy Kez says sell Laka. Amesy says sell Laka. Xander says, unfortunately, no time for sentiment. We need to cash and get new blood. It's hard because I think he's more of a captain than Oba, says Michael, but I feel like it's time to move on and reinvest in a younger forward. And I think Michael touches on it perfectly here. The way he's integrated with the younger players, he's done so well. Seamless leadership, right? Aubameyang seems to struggle with leadership a little bit, tends to do a lot better with leadership when he's scoring goals and he's more confident. There's no arguing about that. That's a natural thing. But if you're a leader, you lead by example when you're up or down. Don't see him doing too many interviews when he's not playing well, not scoring. He scores a hat trick and has the match ball and is in front of the camera. Now, I'm not criticizing Aubameyang. I'm just saying that Lacazette is more of a natural leader than him. Unfortunately, he can't score as many goals as him. And that's because of the role he plays as well. So Simon says, since Lacazette has been at Arsenal, we haven't played to restraints at all. I think the time is right. I don't think you can argue with any of these points. Bernadette, I'd cash in on Laka, too old to extend his contract and don't want him leaving for free next year. And this is what we can't afford to do at all, right? And that is lose another player to any type of free transfer. Cash in, agent inconsistencies over a long period of time. It's time to move on and refresh our striker core. Alex says, good squad play, but due to age would be right time to sell. Let's see. Elaine, I love Lacazette, but I think for his career, he probably needs to move on. Thank you very much. I am actually. I'm a little bit tired. The weekend took it out of me. What can I say? Fraser says, we could get good money for Laka this summer. Akuma says that's a fair point. Let's see. James says, you can get someone who does what Laka does, but is much stronger and more potent in front of goal and in the air. We're still going along this crossing route. And this is true. Kevin and I have talked about this a lot in terms of, I think we've put in something like 500 plus crosses, but yet there's nobody on the other end of the ball. We don't have a Giroud anymore who can get on the end of that. Aubameyang doesn't really score a lot of headers. Lacazette doesn't have the height. The reason why Chambers played against Burnley this weekend, as much as I criticize Chambers, is because of height, right? Can't have that. They have more height up front. And yet we don't have too much height or prowess heading the ball, but yet we put all these crosses in. To be fair, Kieran Tierney put in a great cross to Pepe against Burnley, all on the ground, and he couldn't finish that. So, you know, I think the majority of people in chat are thinking it's time to cash in on Lacazette. Let's read a few more. Johnny Boy, you took that draw really badly, babe, but it just shows your passion. We understand and love. Let's see. Sophie was celebrating Arsenal's league title win. Wow, do I look that tired? Man, I must look really terrible. Bless you, Sophie. You need a nice boat trip to Catalina. Well, this is all encouraging for a Monday. Haven't even started this week, and you guys are already telling me that I need a vacation and I look tired. That's lovely. Right. So really, in essence, I think Fraser agrees, got to be a leader in good times as well as bad. Nadine says, I don't think we have a choice. We have to sell him and recoup a fee. Remember, Laka was meant to be our Oba. Mark says, evaluating this season, Laka is one of many in the squad we should cash in on, but every replacement has to be an improvement. And this is the thing. It's not about letting players go. It's about making sure that you replenish those players. And financially, as you've seen from some of the reports that have come out this week regarding the losses for Arsenal Football Club and also how much we've spent over the last 4 years, clearly that financially we have, like many other clubs, especially during this COVID time, somewhat of a struggle. But we do have assets that we can sell, and it's going to be one of those summers where you're going to have to bite the bullet and let a lot of players go, but you've got to make sure that they come back in, because some of the players we're talking about letting go, they're a lot. You know, you could argue Elneny, you could argue Xhaka, you could argue Bellerin. You know, there's does Chambers stay? You know, Maitland-Niles, Willock, Reece Nelson, Nketiah. Yeah, there are a lot of players who are up for grabs, and there's definitely going to have to be some transition in order for this team to shift in the right direction when it comes to the Premier League. So I think, good evening, Daniel, I think we're all on the same page when it comes to Lacazette, in the sense that I like him. I think he's a good player. He's been very neat. He does a lot of things off the ball that fans don't see sometimes. And so for those reasons, I just think that we have to be so ruthless. As much as I like him and I think he's been neat and he's done good things off the ball, we could get at least 25 million for him. And right now, cash is king at the Arsenal, and we need that cash to reinvest. Thank you, Bernadette, for your reassurance right there. Thank you, everybody, for all of your kind words. This is Monday Madness. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. It's episode 42 of our lockdown series. We're going to move on to point number two right now. Why does the club love to PR spin certain players to us? We've seen this over and over again, right? We'll win the FA Cup 2014-15, 16-17. You know, we win the FA Cup under Arteta, but the narrative doesn't quite change because after we win an FA Cup, the club tries to spin us on having a talented enough team that can challenge in the Premier League. And I fear that happens a lot with players, and we've seen it in the past. We've even seen it with some of our homegrown players like Willock and Nketiah. Nketiah in particular, a good example of late of a player just trying to be squeezed into, he's great, he can do really well, but the proof is in the pudding. He's not really a starter at Arsenal, I don't think. I don't think he could lead the line at the Arsenal. In the past, we've seen that with Jenkinson. We've seen it with Elneny recently, trying to bring him back, squeeze him in. Arsenal Football Club are never going to improve or climb the Premier League table with continual faith in these average players who've been there long enough and haven't really proved much. I'm sorry. There are some players that, yes, can be squad players. But today I was reading, I think it's Kaya Kanuk from Football London, and she had written an article about maybe Arsenal don't need to look too far. You've got someone like Callum Chambers who could take over that right back position from Bellerin. No. Why are we doing this again? I don't understand why this has to happen continually. Why do we buy into this? Listen, I'm not saying Arsenal fans buy into this rhetoric. I'm asking, don't think or don't assume we're going to buy into this rhetoric over and over again. Callum Chambers shone at a team like Fulham that was relegated, did really well. You know, shining in a relegated team, it's never easy being the star player or looking like the best player on a football team in the Premier League. But when you get relegated and you're the best player, I'm not sure that says a lot. And to be honest with you, he's had so many chances at Arsenal Football Club. And I know he had a decent game. That doesn't mean I don't think he had a decent game against Burnley. I just don't think if we want to move up in the league and compete again and really build a squad that can change the DNA and the culture of us in the league, I just don't think you do it with players like Chambers. I just don't. And then all of a sudden, it's like he plays well. He has one good game. And all of a sudden, it's, oh, maybe we don't need to look too far for our right back. We do need to look far. We need to look way far, much further than North London. We need to really dig deep because that right back position, you find a player like Tierney, hopefully if he stays fit, right, he's left back for 10 years. You want to find that for your right back as well. You want to have a Lee Dixon Winterburn scenario. You want to get your Ashley Cole. You know, you want to get your key players that can play year after year after year. And we haven't been able to do that. And I think in order for Arteta to establish these roles, these key roles, if Thomas Partey stays fit, he could be there for like, what, 6-7 years? You know, if Pepe can really galvanize himself and catch fire and continue this form, he could be a long-term player for the Arsenal. Saka, ESR, Tierney, Gabriel, Leno. All of these players. So it's about finding the same similar culture type players in those positions. And for me, I just don't think that Chambers is the answer to that. No, it was an article in Football London that I had read. And I just think it's just similar rhetoric that people just kick off, you know, when an Arsenal player has a really good game. And it's like, come on, when are we going to, we keep saying Bellerin has a good time. Oh, good game. Oh, yeah, he's the answer. We know that. Xhaka, I've defended Xhaka. I will stand here and admit that. I defended him even after he threw his shirt to the ground. I looked at all of the different scenarios that were going on at the time at the club. And at the same time, I have met Xhaka in LA and spoken to him, and he seemed like a more of a leader in the team than any other player. So I understood why he was made captain and kept faith with when there's no leadership in the side. So for these reasons, though, and you can't keep defending the indefensible at a time, right? Clearly, Bellerin's regressed. Clearly, Xhaka makes too many mistakes. The stats tell us that. Is David Luiz the answer? Maybe in the dressing room, yes. Is he going to be able to play every game? I'm not sure. He's been given an extended contract. Elneny is too slow, slows the pace down, sideways backwards passing. Not the answer to Partey's partnership either. When he and Xhaka play together, it's horrendous. It's like, you know, watching two turtles try and you know, compete together in a 100-meter sprint, and it's just never going to happen. So I just think that at the end of the day, you have to be able to separate yourself from nostalgia and rooting for a guy because he's a good guy versus what he provides for the Arsenal long term. Let me read out some of your comments. Chambers isn't why Arsenal were 10th. The defense is... I never said that. I just said, if you want to improve this, then you don't do it with a player like Chambers, who's been at the club for so long. Look, we all knew that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's... Look, what he's not even getting into a poor Liverpool side right now. He goes and wins the league. You know, it's not because of him they won the league, but he's a player that we knew had to move on. We had to evolve from that. Kolasinac, Ozil, Sokratis, Mustafi, all of these players, Jenkinson, you know, is it time to move on from Maitland-Niles and Willock? You know, you've got Guendouzi out on loan, Torreira, you've got Saliba, you've got all of these players. There's huge decisions to be made this summer. And if Arsenal Football Club really want to elevate themselves and grow, they're going to have to make some bold changes. Amesy says, mediocre, Bellerin, Chambers, Jacket, Elneny, but will we clear lots more out this summer? Well, we have to do it in steps as well. Shady says, we deserve a lot better players than Chambers, Bellerin, Elneny. I mean, these players have been given a huge opportunity to shine over and over again, and they've not been able to do that. Good evening to 200 of you in live chat right now. Thanks so much for joining me. You're listening to Monday Madness, top five talking points. Get your points stuck in now. It's brought to you by Football Prizes. The question is about Arsenal selling us and spinning players PR-wise, you know, or spinning moments. Like, we've won the FA Cup, we're good enough to compete in the Premier League. Chambers has a good game. Oh, he might be the answer now to right back, replacing Bellerin long term. I just think these types of conversations we've seen and heard over and over again, and I just don't understand it. Gunn says, while I understand the need to clear out a number of players, reality means that completing contracts of any player is not easy. Yes, completely agree with you. Three parties have to agree. And at the same time, though, you know, the club also needs to be proactive in making these decisions, making sure that they're not waiting for a contract to be in its last year or run out, or you're finding yourself in these precarious situations over and over again. And let's be honest, we've handled our transfer business pretty poorly over the years. Let's see. Simon says, Bissouma, Lamptey, Konate, Aouar, they're the players we need this summer, with Aubameyang, Pepe, Udegaard, Gabriel Martinelli, Saka, ESR, Thomas Partey. I like that team, but don't you worry about Lamptey's injuries? If we're talking about injury-prone players and being worried about that in terms of Arsenal's history, aren't we worried about Lamptey's injuries lately? I think that's a problem. You know, I think we need to be really careful. I also think we shouldn't be held to ransom with some players. So, you know, it's not an easy situation. Let's see. Zamir, realistically, this is our squad if we sell the Deadwood. Leno, Cedric, Mari, Holding, Gabriel, Saliba, Tierney, Partey, Oba, Saka, ESR, Martinelli, Pepe. Yeah, but you would... Well, that would be a pretty weak squad. And also, I think that we're not going to be able to fire sell the lot. We let a lot go in January, but also Arteta has had the opportunity to bring in some of his own players. And the fact that we're not improving in the league position, this is really worrying, which just tells you that the job is far from over and the transition of players is far from over, which is why I personally think that we need to be able to move on from players like Chambers and stuff. Yeah, he is. 5'5", injury prone. Completely agree. South London's finest. Arteta needs to be ruthless because it will be his job. Absolutely. Her managers aren't stupid. He gave it too much time with the Colas and the Mustafis of the world. He allowed that to evolve too much. Even with Willian. Willian started to perform better after he'd been benched for, 2 months? Being used as a sub. Not starting. So he kept faith with certain players for a bit too long. And you could say that's cost us a league position. Players are also to blame, of course, for their performances. But you could argue that maybe he didn't start taking enough risks or trusting a transitional moment in terms of players that he would choose as part of the first team, because he was keeping faith with what he thought he knew, but he too found out that those players just weren't good enough. And I think in the end, that's really hurt us. You might be the only person who's not convinced by Bissouma. If you think we could do better, let me know who. I mean, he's a very, very good player and a lot of teams are looking at him to the point where I actually not sure if we're able to sign a player like Bissouma. There's quite a few big teams that are interested in him. You could argue that a Manchester United might be in line to sign him ahead of us. Who knows? They can offer Champions League football. We can't. We don't know yet. We have signed players without Champions League football. Heck, we signed Aubameyang and Lacazette and Pepe without Champions League football. So that just shows you that Arsenal is still an attraction even without that. But Europa League football is important too. To be in Europe, to have that opportunity to qualify for Champions League football and win a European trophy is very, very important. So these are really, you know, I think we can still attract players, but we've got to be very careful about falling completely out of Europe this season. And as big a pool as London is, Matty K, a lot of players still like to the fact that they're playing in Europe, even if it's in the Europa League. I'm not saying it's the answer, but at the same time, I think that we need to be really careful about that. I'll be over the moon if we get him. He's the perfect partner for Thomas Partey. That would be an amazing partnership. And I think that if we strengthen in the right back position, we get a creative player, a striker. We need cover for Tierney at left back, though. You could argue Matty Ryan's going to stay, but is Runnison good enough? Do we need another goalkeeper? There are still a lot of things that need to be done to this squad. But I do also think that we still have a good enough squad that should be able to play better football the same way Everton and West Ham and Leicester have this season. I'm not sure you could argue those three squads have better players than we do, you know. And I think a lot of the times we're using this as an excuse now in terms of the transition and the fixing of the 17 years. Well, Unai Emery was able to do more in the Premier League than Arteta, so we have to wait and see. Virginia, we got to win Europa League. The league is done and dusted. I mean, it was a bad result against Burnley. Every other team around us, you know, lucky Everton have lost. Tottenham win again. They've got this resurgence. Mourinho's found perfect timing, hasn't he, to bring Bale back to life, or Bale's brought Tottenham back to life. Which way would you like to look at it? But my goodness, do we have a massive game this weekend. Again, that could shift things a little bit, maybe give us one last glimmer of hope. But it's not going to be easy at all. All right, here we go. Monday Madness continues right here. Get your comments in. Let's see what we got here. Dempsek can go to Chelsea. The Spuds both in London. The pull of London isn't enough. Yeah, I mean, well, the pull of Arsenal maybe isn't enough. Why do we have to make this about London? I really love to see us go after bigger players with physique and improve on the spine. Kevin and I have talked a lot about Lukaku. We need a forward like that. Bully people, scare them in the tunnel, make them think twice before they've even come out. We're too polite sometimes. We're too soft. Sometimes we're weak sauce. You know, we need to be strong enough. We need to fight harder. And, you know, we're not being able to do that. Elaine, Unai Emery is an experienced manager. We're not sure why we're comparing him. Okay, so we give him a pass, Arteta a pass because he's a novice, but an experienced manager like Arteta gets punished because he's an experienced manager and he's won three Europa Leagues. I don't get it. If you're a manager of Arsenal, you're playing the same games. This isn't a job to learn on, in my opinion. I mean, I really don't understand this. It's clear. Arteta had the chance to qualify for the Champions League even when Emery was fired, and he didn't do that. The difference is Arteta won the FA Cup and he won his final, and Unai lost the Europa League in spectacular fashion and lost his. The winning the FA Cup bought Arteta a lot of love coupons. That's my humble opinion here. BX Gunner, we've fallen far and it's been a long time coming. We're competing with the bottom. Yeah, we're not. I mean, United City, Chelsea, they're not our rivals anymore. You know, Leicester, are they? No? Are we Wolves, Southampton, Everton nowadays? Maybe that's our speed if we're lucky. We'll see how the season ends. Hey, DWTT, welcome, mate. I am having a good day. Are you? Lone Star, Sophie's point is spot on and clear and obvious. Sell the experienced, overpaid and tried and trusted players that have only dragged us backwards from 5th to 15th in 4 years. I mean, look, table doesn't lie. People want to have a go at United, and I've even had two saying, how is this Man United team second? But somehow they are. They're there. And the one thing that gives me hope about Arteta is, can he pull off an Ole? Everyone wanted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer out. They were in the bottom half of the table. They were struggling. Everyone was saying he's a novice. He can't do it. Crap manager. Gets them back into the Champions League. They finished third. Now they're in second place. Yes, they're out of the Champions League, but they can still win the Europa League, still in, I think, the FA Cup. So there's part of that gives me hope that maybe Arteta can do what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did at Manchester United. Now, you would argue that we don't have as talented team as them. We don't have as strong a spine. Maybe we don't have as much depth. You could also argue that a lot of people have said that it's the weakest Manchester United team, mentally as impotent as we are at times. You know, they've not been great this season, but results have gone their way. And say what you want, though. They beat Manchester City fair and square. And they did it in quite sensational fashion. And let's hope that Tottenham weren't watching that, because you don't want that type of performance repeated. A Jose Mourinho team can do that to a Manchester City in the League Cup final. We'll see. Right, let's go to our next point. We're already 30 minutes in. It's supposed to be 5 minutes for each subject. This one's going to be quick. Talking point number three on this Monday Madness, brought to you by Football Prizes. Thierry Henry wants to be Arsenal manager. Time out. Let's stop the madness, please. This obsession with wanting ex-managers to be... Sorry, I agree with you on that. He's also a legend of Manchester United. Arteta's not a legend of Arsenal. He was a really nice captain who played lovely football and was a great ambassador for the club. Won the FA Cup, did some nice things. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a total legend at United. These are facts. This is true. 100%. So, yes, I agree with you there. He should never be our manager. Thank you, Danny. This obsession with ex-players or fans or the media building these stories for ex-players to become managers. No. Same with Vieira. No. In fact, no. Double no. Not right now. That's a big fat no. They've done very little in their club careers. I mean, Vieira's done a little bit more than Thierry Henry. Thierry's been a disaster. People talk about Tony Adams being a disaster as a manager. Thierry Henry has been a disaster. Look, Gary Neville, great pundit. Everyone loves him, thinks he's a genius, the John Madden of English football. Terrible manager. I'm going to go as far as to say I'm interested to see what Phil Neville does at Inter Miami this year and what he can bring to MLS. But I don't think the England's women's team improved under him. You could even argue they maybe regressed under him a little bit. So just because you were a prolific player and a legend, that doesn't mean you should be a manager. And this one's a quick one. So I've put your comments up as much as I can. But Thierry Henry needs to do something. No, we're not going to take Steven Gerrard. But look what Steven Gerrard did. He went to Rangers. He went to a league where he still had a lot of pressure because Rangers are a big football club. Doesn't matter what anyone thinks outside of Scotland. They are royalty when it comes to Scottish football. And they went out of the league. They were persona non grata when it came to the Scottish Premiership. But he took on a team and he took on a situation and basically was driven by a goal to stop Celtic, get their 10th championship in a row. And he's done that. And maybe Lampard thought he was doing the same thing going to Derby, but maybe he should have taken on a job like that too. You know, then he takes that Chelsea job maybe too soon. And I wouldn't go to Liverpool right now if I was Gerrard, because you're kind of inheriting a bit of a hot mess and it's going to be down to you to fix the mess. And if you can't fix the mess, a little bit like Lampard, your legacy will be over as a manager before it even started. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's night and Thierry Henry shouldn't be manager. And yeah, I mean, who knows? Exactly, Danny. Exactly. Doesn't mean because you're a great player, you make a great manager. I mean, Thierry was a disaster at Monaco, you guys. Disaster. And you could argue that Manchester United and Arsenal went for the cheaper option when they chose Ole and Arteta, two players that they also knew who would toe the company line, support the club, not say anything outrageous, not challenge the status quo. And maybe both clubs needed that at the time. It's not easy to replace a legendary manager. And I think that Arsenal Football Club and Manchester United are both learning on the job that this is difficult. And as much as everyone wanted Wenger out, you know, we've seen that he was able to Del Boy it in the Premier League for a while. Doesn't mean I agree with the decisions he made. Doesn't mean I agree with a lot of the policies he and Gazidis infused and what they did to the club, especially in the last few years. But the point is, he was able to sustain us for a while in the Champions League or in the top four when we really weren't that great a team. And now we're seeing the repercussions of what it means to replace, you know, a legendary manager. We don't have the revolving door policy like Chelsea. That's not our culture. We can't do that. We can't recover that way because we've had too much stability for so long. And at some point, that stability also becomes institutionalized, right? Because you get certain behaviors that become acceptable, like enabling players to not have to train when they don't want, taking the foot off the gas. Everything becomes cozy, you know? It's like going to the same family member's house every Christmas day and then someone says, well, I'll do Christmas this year. What? No, we always go there. You know, change is not easy for many people and it certainly hasn't been easy for us. And as much as I have disagreed with some of Arteta's moves, it's also not easy for an Unai Emery and Arteta to undo problematic, systematic issues that have been ongoing for years and years and years. Let's read some of your comments. Runs with the cows. Everybody has to start somewhere, but starting a managerial career at Arsenal has always felt like madness to me. Just like Kev says, sometimes where the weight of the badge might be too heavy, same as a manager. It's not easy to step in to these roles sometimes. But when you have the arrogance of Arteta, you also have to accept and take what comes with it too, right? Ole had managed before. Yeah, but what he got Cardiff relegated, Pramod. You know, he did not do well either. But somehow he's found a way. And I think it's his legendary status at Manchester United that has helped him galvanize this team. And he's made them believe in something. There's no doubt about that. And they've overcome some adversities, much as they've also been helped here and there with VAR decisions this season, especially penalties. But let's not also forget that one player has changed their fortunes, Bruno Fernandes. The one player who's kind of changed our fortunes in midfield has been injured a lot, Thomas Partey. But when we do play with him, we're very different. We're more composed. We have more speed. We're able to pass through the midfield a lot quicker. One player can make a massive difference. Look what's happened to Liverpool. No Virgil van Dijk. They've crumbled without him. Yes, they've had other injuries, but the house of cards fell once he became injured. Alisson loses his form. They leak goals. Their fortress at Anfield, over now. Football is very fickle and it's fine margins. And, you know, Arteta's bought good players, Gabriel, Thomas Partey, you know, but he's bought in his own players. He chose to bring in Willian. He chose to give Xhaka, or wanted to give Xhaka an extension. He wanted to keep Luis for an extra year. But we're missing that link. We've got Thomas Partey. Gabriel's regressed, but I think that's because of COVID, right? Pepe's improved, but that's because I think not because of Arteta. I think because of the competition. and his willingness to put in more effort, and the fact that he has Willian breathing down his neck, and he knows that this is his chance, and he's maybe his last chance. So it's not easy. Yeah, but he has people around him that do that for him. He's like the cheerleader, Zamir, and he lets all the others do the tactical things. You know, true say, Kroenke and the board are most likely to promote Mertesacker. Is that true? I don't know about that. I can't say anything on that because we don't know if that's true. But again, that's not the right decision, is it? You let go of Arteta and you bring in Mertesacker. Where's his experience standing in the front lines in the Premier League week in, week out? And I tell you something, if Liverpool don't want Klopp and he's looking for a new challenge, I'll take him. I completely agree. Jacob, personally, I don't see Henry as manager. Yes. I think it's just him. He's in the shop window now, right? He's left Montreal. He's looking for a gig. Do a few interviews. You say you want to become Arsenal manager. Another team comes in for you. And they offer you, a job. It's all part of the PR machine, in my opinion. Akuma, Sophie's on point today. I normally disagree a lot with her, but tonight's spot on. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you to the 200 plus in chat joining me for the Monday Madness Top 5. Right, we've got a couple left. You guys might not like this next one, and I'm sorry in advance, but I have to talk about it. You can agree or disagree. It doesn't mean that I think any differently of him, but I definitely was disappointed in him. And that is the match of the day, taking the piss out of Lacazette, and how Ian Wright joined in Gary Lineker and Dion Dublin. I thought that was a bit classless, to be honest with you. I've not seen them do that with Harry Kane's backing in and Mo Salah's diving, even a Jamie Vardy dive, you know? Also, why didn't they do a funny skit or do something funny when, maybe I missed it, when Rashford and Maguire had that handbags at Verbal Dawn? Why didn't they do or say something about that? It was in poor taste for me. And I actually think for a player like Lacazette, who's been nothing but super classy when wearing the Arsenal shirt and representing the club, and Ian Wright himself, you know, who is a legend of the club, you know, and he stood by Lacazette holding up his shirt with Aubameyang, great PR opportunity. Lacazette's always been a good guy. Okay, he screamed. Did he embellish his scream? I mean, the impact, that maybe it was, at first it hurt him and then it didn't. Did I think it was loud? Yes, but there's no one in the stadiums that morph that sound anymore. So Ian Wright chooses to have a really good laugh at the expense of Lacazette. And look at them tumbling over and laughing their asses off. And I just think Lacazette deserved a little bit better than that from Ian Wright. I expect him to do the same for, you know, a Harry Kane, as I said, or a Mo Salah. So I just wanted to bring that up. I don't want to dwell on it too much. I do want to hear what you have to say about it. Run with Cows thinks it's kind of funny. Matty K says, I didn't like that at all. Elaine says she's angry at Match of the Day. I actually think that he should have just not done anything. If those two other geeks want to act like geeks, fine. Egyptian Guna said he should have mentioned Kane. I think you get it now. Hopefully, Archangel, and you can follow what's happening. Hope they do it next time, says Fraser, when Kane dives. Agree, cheap shot by Pablo. Bernadette, Screamgate was a joke. So disappointed with Wrighty. I mean, seriously, come on, Wrighty. You should know better. Arsenal player. He's been really good. A leader when our captain faded, stood up, wore the armband, helped the young players, galvanized, inspired. Come on. Anyway, it's not dressing room banter when it's on national television and you're the host of the, you know, Premier League show on TV. I totally agree, Sophie. These pundits find it easy to pick on Arsenal. Yeah. Anyway, maybe you can tell me. Peter says, for real, Sophie, they're very quick to take the mickey out of Arsenal. I remember Lineker mocking Wenger on Match of the Day after Stoke fans were mimicking him. It just seems like I said on the last show, there seems to be this continual dig against Arsenal. I realize I've been hunching over the entire show as well, which is probably why my back's killing me. But they seem to just love to have a dig at the Arsenal. And I just don't get it, you know? I just don't get it. Anyway, that's all I have to say on it. Let me see. Martin, big media takes the piss out of Arsenal because we have a history and so many fans have triggered it. Let's see. Our squaddy should let Righty know our thoughts on this matter. Just give us the order, Soph. No, we don't want to do the same. We just want to voice our opinions and say, I expect a little bit better from an Arsenal legend. That's all. I thought that he wouldn't go there. All right. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. This is Monday Madness. Hope you guys have been enjoying the show. Just a few minutes left here on our last subject, which is AOB. Number five is AOB, a new one on the Monday Madness show. AOB being any other business. Okay. So we have five within five, right? So here's the first one. A lesson to be learned for everyone about bragging. Liverpool versus the Invincibles. How many times have we heard that this Liverpool team is the greatest team the Premier League has ever seen? How many times have we heard the rhetoric and the comparisons of this Liverpool team being better than the Invincibles, even though they didn't go invincible because of the amount of games they went unbeaten at home, et cetera, et cetera? Let's just get one thing straight in a nutshell, okay? When you go invincible or when another team goes invincible, then let's have the conversation of which team is better than the other. There's a reason why another team hasn't done it yet. And that's because it's bloody hard to do. Okay. It's almost impossible to do. Otherwise, City would have done it by now. And Liverpool arguably could have done it two seasons in a row. So let's stop the rhetoric. Liverpool have fallen so hard this season. Something maybe even worse than the Chelsea team that fell to the bottom half of the Premier League table, the Mourinho team. But at the end of the day, it's almost kind of rude when people go at the Invincibles and compare them to these other teams. I find it. Because it's always like, what else can we find to have a dig about Arsenal? Let's even try and make their Invincible season not matter or not have any relevance. How can we do that? So for me, I just don't think that you compare the two. Chris, I'm a Liverpool fan, Sophie. 2 years, 198 points, a Champions League and a Premier League. Knocked out Barcelona and Bayern in the... Yeah, but you didn't... This isn't about that. Have you won more? You've been brilliant. You've won so much. And by the way, thanks for joining us as a Liverpool fan as well. That means a lot. But it's the question of going invincible. Even that one game. You lost that game. You could argue, well, you drew so many games. Still went invincible. And that's the point. Not talking about trophies, talking about going unbeaten for an entire season in the league. That is not an easy thing to achieve. Okay. Are you guys afraid of Spurs winning a trophy this season? I had to throw that out there. They seem to kind of be on the bounce. Mourinho stumbled upon this, Bale form thing. I think actually Bale's bailed him out, forgive the pun, versus Jose finding a winning formula despite him. Are you guys afraid that they might win something real quick? Just very, very, very quick. Do they have a chance now? They've been given hope after Manchester City lost against Man United. I actually think that it is... a good thing that City lost ahead of this final. You know, I really do. I think that they needed a little bit of a realignment. A loss coming at this time, I think, is a good thing. And I think it's a great thing as they head into the final in April. So I love you guys. I mean, yes. And all 222 of you in live chat, thanks for joining. Well, to be honest, I care. I do care. I think we all care. You know, I think we all care whether if they win something or not. And I'm just wondering, as the season's wrapping up here and things are getting tight, are we getting a bit worried about that? You know, League Cup final or them winning the Europa League? Just saying it out loud. I personally don't want to face them in the Europa League at all. Don't think that's a good thing at all for us. Let's see. I'm not scared that Spurs will win a trophy. It's if the league, it's the Europa League. I know. Yeah. Them winning in Europe before us again? Nah. I mean, they could do it. That would be painful. That would be really painful. And this is the truth. He has something about him. And also, you know how football repeats itself or history repeats itself? Won the League Cup and the Europa League with Man United. Dear God, let's hope he doesn't do the same again at Spurs. I just wanted to ask the question and I'm going to move on right now. Well, you can read everybody else's comments in the chat a little bit later. I'm going to move on because I don't want to get depressed. And it's only Monday and apparently I look tired. So we're going to move on from that. All right. Would you vote to eliminate VAR tomorrow, real quick, in a nutshell? Yes or no? Get rid of it. Go back to arguing in the pub over offsides and dodgy decisions. If you had the power, would you get rid of VAR tomorrow? Martin says yes. It worked in our favor. It worked in Burnley's favor. And it actually didn't work in our favor this weekend. It was a terrible decision. And it's those kinds of decisions. I don't like blaming our losses or our poor form on VAR at all, because I don't think that's right. We haven't lost 11 games because of VAR and officiating. We've lost 11 games because we couldn't close our matches. We've lost 11 games because we lost to Villa twice. We lost to Wolves twice. We've lost to Leicester. We redeemed ourselves and beat them. And you ask yourself, where have those performances been all season? But Sai says, I'd get rid of officials. Mark says, VAR isn't the problem. The people using it are. Christoph says, tied in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, South London, no, I'd get rid of the officials. That's the general consensus here, it seems. Hybrid boy, VAR isn't the problem. The crap people behind it are. Alcarp says, no, just change some parts. But they have taken the enjoyment and the sting out of all of that. And for a while, it got a little bit better. But recently, it's gotten a lot worse. And talk about sending mixed messages, changing the handball rule during the middle of the season. I mean, how is that allowed to happen? Nadine says the officials behind it. Yo-Yo says, no, use it for offsides only. Well, that's the biggest contention of all, isn't it? The offside and the handball. I mean, the offside especially, you're talking hair's breadth. You're talking the nail. I mean, it's crazy. So it's really, I think they're going to have to review this big time in the off season and see what happens, because we can't go on like this. It's ruined the love of the game, instant decisions, much better viewing. So we're all willing to argue with each other that we got robbed rather than have VAR screw it up and officials then screw it up by not going to the monitor or telling a referee or prompting him to take a look at stuff. This is what we're saying. We're willing to do that. Amazing. Yeah, me too. I'd rather argue with you down at the pub, because we're arguing anyway. They've really got to get this right. They've really got to get it right. Anywho, most of you agree that VAR's got to go, and a lot of you are voting to get rid of the officials who actually have you seen how it works in tennis at the Australian Open with the technology? They didn't have linos there, and the umpire would overrule something if he thought it was a bit dodgy. But generally, they got it right. I don't know what the percentage is. Someone will have to educate me about that, but... Or do what they do here in MLS, where the referee's talking to the officials who are looking at the VAR system, and the fans can hear the conversation. We're looking at this because it was hand to ball. I think it was X to Y. Why not do that? You're right, Michael, they do. And so many other sports as well. Rugby especially, right? Rugby use it really well. The NFL use it really well. Yep, tennis, cricket. And Zamir, yep, like a lot of people agree with you. It's the people using it. Well, let's see if anything changes, you guys, and let's hope that we're not victims to such. I mean, why is there no retro punishment for that poor decision? Why hasn't anything been talked about or said about it? Why aren't Arsenal making more of a fuss about it? Why are we too nice and polite about everything? We should be causing a stink about this. Absolute stink. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Luke Shaw threw their hat in the ring and knew that they could get scolded by the FA, but they took a risk after the Chelsea game and said some stuff. Now, was some of it appropriate? Maybe not. But they were willing to do that. Why aren't we doing that? I don't understand. We're just too nice. We're really too nice. Okay. I'm going to leave you with this one for the night. This is the last one. Do you think that Arteta could do for Arsenal what Ole has done for Man United? I brought it up as a talking point as part of another point earlier, but I'd like to know if you guys think that Arteta can do for Arsenal what Ole's done for United. I.e., can he get us back into Champions League football? Can he get us back into the top four? Can he start improving us up the table? Can he do these things? Was Ole only able to do them because of being able to spend money? I think, I can't remember where I read it today. Maybe it was Tom from Gunnar Talk who wrote an article saying we've spent over 600 million in 4 years. I mean, that's not cheap. That's a lot of money. You guys can correct me if that's right or wrong. I mean, he spent a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. But we've spent money too. You know, there are other teams who are above us and have improved, like Leicester and West Ham and Everton. And, you know, just saying, I'm asking the question, can he do it? And you're seeing the answers right now on screen. It's 561 million. Thanks, Amir. And we spent it terribly. That's a lot of money, you guys. It's not like we haven't had a lot of money to spend. Don't know. Ole had the dosh to spend. Then again, he spent it wisely, whereas us, not so much. Again, like I said earlier, the one player, Bruno Fernandes, right? One player changed it. But they were willing to spend that kind of money. Now you could argue, well, we spent 70 million on Pepe. They spent 70 million odd on Bruno Fernandes. Gosh, thank God he didn't go to Spurs, by the way, because he had the option. But a lot of you are giving Arteta the benefit of the doubt. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take the summer transfer window for us to be able to solidify this Arteta team, I think. Follow the arc. Some would argue, why would you give him the money? If we end up finishing in the lower half of the table and we get kicked out of the Europa League and don't win a trophy, why would you give him 150 million to spend, for example? I don't know, would you? I think it's an okay question to ask. He's already bought in several players. Big D, they got back into the Champions League. They finished third last season. They are now second. Okay, they're in the Europa League still and they're in the FA Cup. They have a chance of winning a trophy. I'm not saying that he's done wonders, but he's done wonders considering everyone wanted him fired and they were in oblivion. And within 18 months, look where they're at. Tell me they haven't improved. People want to tell me we've improved under Arteta, who's been in charge since last December in the league, but we haven't. So I'm asking, is it possible for him to do that? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get the kind of support Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did. And at the same time, do we have the same mentally strong players or talented players? That's the big question. Right. You've been listening to the Highbury squad. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, go to footballprizes.co.uk to find your Arsenal memorabilia. Going to be back tomorrow with Inside the Dressing Room. John Harkes and Super Kevin Campbell are with me tomorrow night. Look forward to that. It's going to be a great football conversation, the show where we take you behind the white lines and we take you inside the dressing room from the player perspective. Lots of great content coming to you this week. Going to announce a couple new shows as well. Thanks to everyone who has joined me. Come over to the Gunnar Talk. I just realized that it's 1 minute to 1 p.m. in the afternoon here in California, and I'm hopping over to join Tom for another talk about the Arsenal. So come over there and we'll carry on the conversation. Until then, I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, everyone. And don't forget, always Arsenal.